I think most of you know I suffered a stroke back in 2007. Thankfully, God is blessing me with improving health, and I'm able to stand up and preach. You may have noticed that sometimes when I walk without my assistant over here, I kind of waddle like a duck, but I'm hoping that'll go away one day. Barbara's trying to get me out to do more exercise. She wants to put me out in this 99 to heat so I can build up my muscles or something. Today I'd like for us to turn to the book of Colossians, to the 4th chapter. Begin our reading with the 2nd verse. Let us listen to God's holy word. Oh, thank you. I have a lot of nice assistants here and I appreciate it. Someone brought me some music books a while ago, but I don't want to sing with this mic on. I might run everybody out of the building. Listen to God speaking through Paul. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Again, let us thank God. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for Thy holy word, and thank Thee today that Thou hast given us eyes to see it, Thou hast given us ears to hear it, and we thank Thee, Father, for minds to comprehend Thy holy word. We ask again for the guidance of Thy Holy Spirit. May He enable us to hear and learn so that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of Him. We pray, Father, in the name of Christ our Lord, the living Word, Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul was a great teacher, probably the greatest teacher of the Christian faith other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's easy to say that Paul was a master teacher. As we look through Paul's many letters, we find him offering advice to Christians. Here in Colossians, the 4th chapter, he offers some very good advice on prayer. In chapter 4, verse 2, he speaks of believers praying. Paul urges believers to persevere in praying. Now, prayer is communication with God. God has given us this opportunity to talk to Him verbally or silently in our hearts. But we can talk to God. We don't have to have somebody else doing it for us. We don't have to pay some preacher or priest or somebody to pray for us. Every believer can speak to God. And Paul is saying we need to keep an open channel to God. Be in constant communication with God. You know, God is the source of our strength and ability. And if He is the source of our strength, then we ought to talk to Him and ask Him for strength and guidance. We should have regular communication with God. Believers should have regular correspondence with God. You know, we can take a lot of time playing with our computers and doing the email thing. We can write letters. But do we take the time to talk to God, to have communication with God? You know, as we look around, we see that prayer is often neglected. It gets neglected for a number of reasons. You know, some people think that prayer is something that only preachers can do. We've been to seminary, so somehow or another we learned how to pray. Nobody else that hasn't been to seminary has that experience. We also know that some people think that since the preacher has a long prayer on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon and a bunch of other small prayers, that's all. I don't need to have any other prayers. Just let the preacher do it all for me. There's some people that believe that the ministers have an inside track with God, so they don't have to pray. Just let the preacher do it for them. People even believe that preachers have a better inside track with God, that God will listen to preachers more than he'll listen to anyone else. Some years ago, a number of years, the Ellsbury Chamber of Commerce has often asked me to pray for good weather when they have their annual car show. Sometimes I've gone to the Chamber of Commerce meetings and they'll say, "Preacher, how about having a good prayer for good weather for the car show?" The biblical doctrine of the priesthood of all believers says that every believer has ready access to God. Every believer can pray to God. There are various excuses offered for not praying, or at least for limited prayer. But the Apostle Paul was speaking to all believers. He says every believer should pray, but not just prayer. Pray, he says, be persistent. Pray and keep on praying. Constant communication with God is of prime importance. It's true that God has all knowledge. He knows everything that we need in life. He knows it before we know it. That's true, but God still wants his people to communicate with him, to present things that are on our hearts and minds. You know, we sing a song called "Take It to the Lord in Prayer." That's not idle words. That's good advice. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, it's a biblical truth that should be embraced by everyone. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. As we read on here, we find that Paul speaks of believers in prayer being vigilant while they're praying. The Greek word that's translated vigilant here literally means watchful. Be awake, be alert when you're praying. The apostle wants believers to pay attention. Stay alert when you're praying. Keep your hearts and minds alert and awake when you're praying. This may be a warning against. Sometimes we get into having rambling prayers. We ramble so much, spout off a bunch of words. We don't pay attention. We don't even know what we've asked before God's throne. Also, it could be a warning against praying late at night. Some people don't pray until they get ready to go to bed at night. Then they're so tired, they may go off to sleep in their prayer. You know, that happened to the disciples on several occasions. You remember that night, that Thursday night in the garden, Jesus took his disciples and asked them to pray with him. He left them praying and he went over to another part of the garden to pray by himself. When he returned, the disciples were asleep. We're not told what put them to sleep, if they were on some knockout drug or whatever, but they, like many of us, could not stay alert. Believers need to be alert when they're praying. Focus on what you're saying. Don't just mumble words. Think. The apostle believed that thanksgiving should be an important part of every prayer. I think in many ways the apostle believed that thanksgiving is the crown of prayer, the most important thing we can do. We cannot thank God enough for all that he has done for us. Think a moment about what all God has done for you. We should continually thank God for our salvation. We are sinners. We have broken God's laws and commandments. We have transgressed against His holy will. But God has forgiven us through the work of His Son. Can we ever thank Him enough for that? It's God alone who has bestowed salvation on His people. So we owe the rest of our lives a time of thanksgiving. For the rest of our lives, we should be thanking God for our salvation. Not every moment, but don't ever forget to thank God for your salvation. We owe God our gratitude for including us. Why did He save us? What's there about us that makes us special? That God would save us. We're not necessarily movie star handsome. We're not beautiful people. We're not rich, powerful people. Why did God love us so much that He sent His Son to the cross? Why did He choose us? We cannot thank Him enough for loving us enough that He made us a part of His redemptive work. We owe God our gratitude for so many other things besides our salvation. God certainly provides our food and clothing. The food we eat is surely planted by some farmer. Who provides the rain? Who provides the sunshine to make the crops grow and prosper? Our God provides all of the food that we have in life. He provides the clothing. He provides husbands and wives. Do you ever think about that? That God brought you and your spouse together? Barbara and I talk about that a lot because we're from almost, not opposite ends of the country, but she's from Missouri and I'm from South Carolina. How did we get together? How in the world did Barbara get hooked up with a gamecock from South Carolina? It's God who brought us together. It is God who gives us our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. It is God who has given us our families and has put us in the family situations. It is God who gives us the air that we breathe. There's a machine running. I can hear it. Thankfully, bringing in some air conditioning. But who gave us the air, period? Not Al Gore, not some scientist. God gave us the air. God created the air. God gives us the water that we drink. A young man brought me a glass of water. But God was the originator of the water. We only go to our taps and turn on a spigot and get some water out of the pipes. But God is the ultimate source of the water. If you want to think about God's creation sometime, consider the hydraulic table that God has established in the earth. He has made a marvelous way for water to rise, turn into clouds and flow over the land and rain on us. And then it flows back down through the rivers and oceans and it starts over again. God did this. No scientist did it. No Al Gore clone. I'm picking on Al Gore because they passed that silly climate thing the other day. God is the ultimate source of the air, the water, the sunshine. We owe Him thanksgiving for all of these things. Now, Paul here is thinking more than just grace before a meal. It's fine, wonderful. We should thank God before we eat every meal. But Paul wants us to do more than just mouth a few words. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for this food or whatever we mouth. The apostles would be in favor of long prayers. Spend some time thinking about God and what He has given you. Thanksgiving should be a part of all of our prayers. We should pray in gratitude, not in a demanding, arrogant way. Some people scream at God, God, give me this. God, give me that. We should ask God in gratitude, God, will you heal my daughter? Will you bring me a wonderful wife? The apostle then asked the Colossians for prayer on behalf of the ministry that he was involved in. He and a number of others were involved in a very important ministry. Now, the others seem to have included Luke, Mark, and Timothy, Epaphras, and a number of others. These were people who were working with Paul to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, there were many things for which Paul could have asked for prayer. He could have said, I'd like to get out of jail. Paul was probably in a prison at this time. Not a very pleasant place. Not the country club prisons that are found so often in this country. But this was a dungeon-like deal. Very little fresh air. Very little water. Paul could have asked for release from prison. Maybe he could have asked for a successful outcome to his trial. When he went before the Roman court, he might ask that he be victorious. The Perry Mason might show up and get him out of trouble. Maybe he could have prayed for good health. Paul, you know, said he had some thorn in the flesh. A lot of scholars have speculated it was bad eyesight. Some problem with his eyes. Paul didn't ask for any of these things. He asked for prayer for something for which, something that was very, very dear to him. The spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul asked that the Colossians might pray for him and the others. And the spreading of the gospel. He asked that he might be able to do it clearly. Now, this is a guy that's locked in prison. He's not going to walk out and go up in the pulpit of some cathedral. He's not even going out. But he asked that every opportunity that is available to him, that he might be able to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we do that? Do we pray for the spreading of the gospel? Do we pray that God's good news might be proclaimed not only in Troy or Lincoln County, but all over the world? How important is prayer in your life? The apostle would suggest that it should be of prime importance. So we find him telling the Colossian Christians, and all of us, to be persistent in our prayers. Don't just mumble a few words every once in a while. And don't just rely on the preacher to pray. Paul would say, pray often. Pray before meals. Pray when you wake up. Pray just before you go to sleep at night. Thank God for this day. Pray when you have a personal family devotions. Paul would certainly want us all to have family devotions. And prayer should be an important part of devotions. Pray and keep on praying. Pray in Sunday school. Pray in worship services. Pray in circle meetings, women of the church meetings. Pray and keep on praying. And make thanksgiving an important part of every prayer. The apostle has given us some very important words on prayer, some advice. And this is a master teacher, a man who was very, very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, folks, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, pray, talk to God, communicate with God. He is listening. He ever listens. God does not turn a deaf ear to us. I think most husbands are accused of turning deaf ears to their wives. Not God. God always hears every prayer offered in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. He hears our prayers and He answers them in accord with His will. So Paul would have some good advice here on prayer. Pray, dear friends, and keep on praying. Pray and keep on praying. Be persistent. Be persistent. Continue to talk to God about life, about your wife, about your husband, about your children. Talk to God about your job or lack of a job or the need for a new job. Talk to God about everything. God hears and answers. Let's pray. Father God, we thank Thee for this advice from Thy servant Paul. Thank Thee that He has reminded us of the importance of open communication with Thee. May we not hesitate to bring things before Thy throne of grace. We pray, Father, that we will be truly reminded by these words of Paul to be persistent in our prayer, but importantly to make thanksgiving an important part of our prayer, to constantly thank Thee for Thy love and mercy, and for all of the many wonderful things that Thou hast done for us. We thank Thee again that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is our Lord and our Savior. Father God, bless us in His name. Amen. Let us prepare to come.